In the case of the five shorted coils and one sine wave generator feeding into them, you know, the most scaled-down version of the latest free energy circuit, there's no way to tell whether or not the excessive current generated by those five shorted coils, whether or not they are coming from the sine wave source, or whether or not they simply overwhelm it by backwashing into the sine wave source on their way out through it to the ground. Now, one way to tell is to look at the initial oscillations and map them, you know, look at them frame by frame as they develop, because then it should become apparent that this backwash is occurring. But another way to refine our vision of the situation and clearly figure out what's going on is to simply go to the second version, the load version, the latest load version, which has a current division situated between the voltage source and the circuit. And that current division changes the situation. It prevents current from backwashing into the voltage source so that and it loosely regulates the voltage, but it strictly regulates the current, which is a little backwards. You know, even though it's a voltage source, it's behaving now like a current source because its current is allowed to rise, but it doesn't rise a whole lot. It still maintains itself at around 1.5 volts within the limitation of what I can compute, you know, the duration of runtime. I can't run it for very long to see what happens over a lengthy period of time. You know, something longer than, I'm using 300,000 seconds, you know, so I can't go to like billions or gazillions, Googleplex zillions of seconds. All I can do is 300,000 seconds. And so in that duration of time, I can see the current rising, but it's so small that the simulator marks each step of rise as 1.5 volts and doesn't distinguish between them because the difference is so small it can't even measure the difference. It just says, oh yeah, it is different, but I can't tell you how much different it is because it's too small to let you know what that difference is. But the voltage does not change. It's rock steady. Excuse me, the current. The current is rock steady at 1 microamp. And that's probably due to the current division involving two resistors, one of which is 1 ohm and the other one of which is 1.5 million ohms of resistance in two separate grounds, so that the excess current is free to go elsewhere and not run through the sine wave generator. Now, it doesn't even go through the alternative ground, let alone through the ground that's on the backside of the sine wave generator. It doesn't even come to either of these grounds. It stops at the capacitor boundary that is prior to both resistors. So we literally truly have an isolation among the two resistors and the sine wave generator and the two grounds, in which that area does not receive any excess backwash of either voltage or current, but it does seem to leak a little bit of backwash of voltage because the voltage is rising, but the current backwash cannot occur. And so we can see very distinctly that the sine wave generator is not supplying the buildup of energy within the rest of the circuit. It's very clear. It's very good I did that, because now it's very easy to see that there is an exceptional rise of energy. But where did the energy come from? It didn't come from the source. Certainly didn't come from the ground magically, you know, using the ground as some sort of infinite source of energy. It didn't come from either. So where did it come from? And a question is answered by rephrasing the question, because it's the wrong question. The energy didn't come from anywhere. Just because it appears doesn't mean it came from somewhere. See, this is the problem we have with our logic. We ask the wrong questions. We're still thinking in terms of DC electronics, namely a flashlight circuit in which energy has to move from point A to point B, and there's no way around that because it's a simple DC process. But when we're getting into these oscillations involving reactionary forces, the potential for complication arises beyond the simple-mindedness that we have been forcing ourselves to think of things in terms of and allowing ourselves to be regulated by physics. It's really, truly has been an abuse of electrical engineering by physics. So what happens is the Q factor has gone up and up and up, and it escalates at an ever-increasing rate of escalation, namely a hyperbolic or an exponential rise. And this creates the illusion, as it is, the Q factor itself, the change in Q factor may be an illusion, but it's a very convincing one because the simulator thinks it's true. And so does, I would imagine, the circuit in question. In other words, affecting how we perceive energy. You know, the Heisenberg principle said we're not quite sure of what's going on, whereas in this case, yeah, we can be semi-sure. There's a kind of, we can predict what happens. It's just we're not sure that it's going to be logical. You know, logic gets thrown out its window when you leave behind a DC throughput of behavior. When you get to an oscillating behavior of reactionary forces, now there's no logic to the throughput of events. Because, well, for one thing, time appears to stand still, for one thing. And that allows for the further apparent illusion of quality factor rising to infinity at an ever-escalating rate. And that further creates the illusion that energy is increasing at an exponential rate when none of those three illusions occur at all, ever. But they appear to, and it's very convincing because that's what reality feeds back, reflects back to us. So it's an illusion to think that energy and matter is a fixed quantity, because its appearance, what we measure as its appearance, can change. And it's that change is concrete enough to feed the multitudes from three loaves of bread and two fishes, as Christ managed to evince from the limited resources that they had available when they arrived for the lecture, or whatever you want to call it, the Sermon on the Mount. They had to feed everybody before the sermon commenced because everybody was hungry and they wouldn't pay attention. And they'd be busy whining and distracting Christ from giving his dissertation. So he had to feed them first. So what did he do? He did what we consider to be non-scientific, because we don't have a way to explain it. Yet we don't allow ourselves to explain it is the problem, because the explanation is right there within electrodynamic theory. But we've never thought it was practical. We never thought it was possible to create that in the field of energy. And of course, if you can do it in the field of energy, then you can do it in the field of matter. Makes no difference. You know, you could literally, you know, if you started, well, anywho, so this changes the reality of matter and energy and the expansion of the universe, you know? How does that happen? Well, if energy can clone itself, so can matter. And we would get the expansion of the universe without any new input of matter or energy causing that expansion to take place. For that matter, the whole thing could collapse, you know, declone itself without anybody worrying about where did the energy and matter go to. Well, it's not a question of where it went to or where it came from, because it's really illusory to think that it's fixed, a fixed quantity. Because DC is really a special case. We have to consider that DC, the vision of reality that physics imposes upon electrical engineering, is a man-made construct. It does not exist in reality for the simple reason that no battery lasts forever. Eventually it dies, in the sense that its voltage is too low to supply adequate power to the appliance in question. So we have to apply a reverse current from some other source, move it from some other place, deplete it from that place, and move it to the battery to recharge it, thus completing the cycle of oscillation of charge and discharge of that battery. Now, it's true we're not violating conservation of energy because we're moving energy around in order to create this oscillation of charge and discharge of the battery. But the fact of the matter is, the battery, the existence, the behavior of that battery has never been DC to begin with. It's strictly always been an oscillating condition. We just don't paint it that way. It's not consumer friendly to do so, because the whole point of a battery is not to take responsibility for recharging it. You just buy a new battery and you throw away the spent one. It's only when you start putting batteries in your car, then now you got to put a solar panel on your roof, because there's no other accepted, socially accepted, consumer-oriented, socially accepted, or corporate-oriented, socially accepted way of looking at recharging those batteries in that electric car, except by using the sun's radiation. So long as the sun is alive, then... Yeah, but how did the sun put out the radiation? It's not nuclear power. See, we've been sold a false bill of sale about across the board, how things work. Or petroleum comes from dinosaurs that fell into tar pits. It's hogwash. All of these fantasies are hogwash. The petroleum came about because limestone, iron oxide, and water was compressed under high temperature and high pressure for a certain length of time, creating petrochemicals and natural gas deposits that continually are formed underground. Now, one could stipulate, well, those reserves are limited because there's only so much limestone and only so much iron oxide and so much water. Perhaps the analogy ends there, because I can't take it any further. I can't get into alchemy. Not that alchemy does not exist, but I can't get into it because I can't explain it. But the transformation of quantity of the same thing, namely energy or material objects, by simply cloning them and multiplying them, is not far-fetched, because it is not difficult to explain. It's illusory to think that reactionary forces allow energy to remain constant. Only resistive forces allow energy to remain constant. And so conservation of energy only applies to a man-made constraint of zero reactive impedance and 100% resistive impedance. And of course, that never really happens in nature anyway. But we can say it, and somehow it becomes reality just by us saying it. And now we don't merely say it, we impose it as the only reality. I mean, come on. Wikipedia states that if reactive forces dominate such that there is zero resistive impedance and reactive impedance is the only impedance around, you can have anything you want. You can have infinite Q for all anybody cares. But nobody thinks it can be done. And that's the problem. Nobody pursues research to see if it can be done, because they've been told, don't bother, it cannot be. Why? See, this is a circular argument, imposing a DC constraint on reality, which is never DC, never confined to DC. I mean, that's so bogus. It's unbelievable.